So our text is Proverbs 18:21. And God's word says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits." Let's go to the Lord one more time and ask him to bless our sermon. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your word. Peter tells us that it is like a lamp shining in the darkness that we ought to pay attention to. I pray, Father, that the words of my mouth would be pleasing in your sight. I pray that all of us would have ears to hear. I pray that the word would land in good soil in our hearts this morning, and that we would take it and put it into practice and even be greatly encouraged and comforted by it. So we pray all of these things, asking for your Holy Spirit to work. We thank you for your Spirit that dwells in your people and also in the church corporately. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words can never hurt me. This is a phrase that, at least when I was a kid, and many of you were kids, used to hear it often. And our parents or other kids taught it to us with good intentions so that our self-esteem would not be damaged by the childish, hurtful words of other children. However, this phrase is not biblical. It's actually anti-biblical, if I could go that far, because the book of Proverbs shows us that our words do have a lot of power, and they can accomplish much. They can accomplish much good, and they can accomplish much bad. And the Proverbs show us this by using a variety of terms to refer to our speech. It refers to our speech with the mouth, the lips, the tongue, words, talk, and answer. And one tally showed me that the Proverbs refers to our speech in these ways close to 200 times. So you think if God is telling you something 200 times in one book, that is pretty important, don't you think? Well, our words matter a lot because they affect many things in our life. They can affect the outcome of situations. They could affect our relationships. They could affect how people feel and think. They can even affect our physical lives and even our eternal lives, our eternal destination. You think of the lies of Satan and then the truth of Christ and where both of those sets of words land you in the end. Therefore, Proverbs 18:21 tells us that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. What does that mean, eat its fruits? Well, when speaking of fruits, it simply means that the way that we use our words yields certain results and consequences. And to start our study on speech, I think it would be helpful to survey the book of Proverbs to see what kinds of things Solomon and the others who wrote Proverbs tell us our words can be used for. What can we do with our mouths? Well, the first thing, as you can see in your outline, is that our words can impart wisdom or could spread perversity. Look at Proverbs 10:31. It says, "The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut off." So our mouths, according to this verse, can be used as tools to communicate the truth of God. It could be used to communicate his wisdom for life. God gave us mouths, and he intended us to use them for his glory, whether that be for praise or to teach others about him. He has blessed us with this ability to spread the word. We have the ability to impart the word of truth, to give to someone wisdom with our mouths. But on the other hand, we also have the capability to spread perversity. What is perversity? Those are crooked and twisted things. Truth that has been manipulated for bad. Things that are corrupt. Things that are simply not good. And the Proverbs warn us against doing this. And notice that it's something that the wicked is known for doing. It says that the perverse tongue will be cut off. This is speaking of the fool who uses his tongue for perversity. Yet, we as Christians can also be tempted to spread perversity, and we ought to be careful about that. Something else we can use our tongues to do is we can use our tongues to persuade people. We could use our tongues to persuade. If you look at Proverbs 16:23, it says that the heart of the wise makes his speech judicious and adds persuasiveness to his lips. If you want to convince someone of something or persuade them to make a certain decision, if you want somebody to get on board with your idea or with your agenda, your mouth is the most useful thing to make that happen. We are able to persuade people. We saw over and over in the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul going from synagogue to synagogue, city to city, and the scripture tells us that he was persuading, or at least attempting to persuade, both Jews and Greeks concerning the gospel, and he reasoned with them from the scriptures. Notice that the Apostle Paul did not come with a sword. He did not put a knife to someone's throat and said, "Repent and believe the gospel." No, he used his words. He chose them carefully, was judicious. He thought about Christ and Christ's fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy and the all of the words concerning eternal life. He chose them carefully, and he sought to persuade his audience. So our words can be used to do that. They could also be used to dissuade, as we'll see later. Now, we can also use our words to speak the truth or to speak lies. Look at Proverbs 24:26. It says, "Whoever gives an honest answer kisses the lips." Or in other words, it is refreshing. It is a welcoming thing to receive an honest answer. Proverbs 24:28, "Be not a witness against your neighbor without cause. Do not deceive with your lips." So we could be honest or we could be deceitful. And we can speak the truth about a situation. We could speak the truth about events that actually happened. We can speak the truth about our opinions in certain matters. And of course, we could speak the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. How do people come in contact with truth? Many times people do not just pick up a Bible out of nowhere and start reading it. That does happen, but many times it's from our lips. They hear the truth from us. And we know Paul in Ephesians taught us Christians that we must speak the truth in love. We as Christians are expected to be truth speakers. And I'm reminded of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was the truth. And if you are familiar with the Westminster Standards, you know that Jesus is our prophet who speaks the truth to us. But we are also capable of speaking things that are not true. We are capable of tricking people into believing something is true. We can deceive and mislead people by our words to believe what is false. We can make up events that never happened. We can get people in a lot of trouble by saying they did or said X, Y, Z when in fact they did not. We can give dishonest opinions. And as I was reminded of Jesus, who is the true speaker, I am reminded of Satan, who the Bible says is the father of lies. And we saw him in the form of a serpent in the garden lie to Eve. And We don't even have to go that far. We can all look at ourselves and say we have not spoken the truth at times in our lives. Something else we could do is we could speak gracious words or we could speak harsh words. Proverbs 16:24. Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And by gracious words, just to clarify, in Proverbs 16:24, I mean words that are kind. Kind words, those sweet words that just land so well in the ears and hearts of the hearer. While those words are great, those words are like the honeycomb, those are the ones that we desire. We also have the capability of speaking to people very harshly, speaking unkindly. These harsh words are the ones that are spoken hastily, ones that we just spit out of our mouths without even giving thought to how they come out, not caring about how they make others feel. Or maybe you do care about how they feel and you want them to feel bad. Those are the harsh words. And we should not do that, but we're all capable of doing that. Next, the Proverbs tell us that we could speak fitting words or timely words, or we could speak rash words. Proverbs 25:11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. And Proverbs 12:18, there is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. So fitting words are the ones that are spoken at the right time, to the right person, in the right way. They are the right choice of words. They are the perfect words for the situation at hand. Have you ever heard the phrase, it's not just what you say, it's how you say it? And that is very important. And that is what Proverbs is talking about. Fit words for a situation. We are able to give those. But we are also able to give words that are not so fitting. Rash words, words that are thoughtless, that are quick, that are emotional, words that we give when we are just angry at someone or when we are just upset. And those are usually the wrong words at the wrong time to the wrong people, the wrong choice. But those are things that we're capable of doing. Next, we are able with our tongues to speak up for others. We are able to speak up for those who do not have a voice. We are able to speak up for those who no one wants to listen to. If you look at Proverbs 31:9, it says, open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and needy. So instead of just letting things play out, instead of just saying, I'm just going to stay out of this because it really doesn't impact me directly, or this is not my fault, or this is not my fight, I should say, Proverbs tells us that we should speak up. Speak up when it matters. Speak up for those who are not being listened to, but they need to be listened to. Use your mouth. God gave you a voice. Next, we can use our mouths to rebuke, or we can use our mouths to flatter. Proverbs 28:23 says, whoever rebukes a man will afterward find more favor than he who flatters with his tongue. Now, if you're wondering what rebuke means, this is an expression that is a word that is used to express sharp disapproval or a sharp correction of someone or something. And there are times when correction is necessary and correction is beneficial to the one who is receiving it. Sometimes people need a sharp rebuke to wake them up, to make them realize that they're doing something wrong. It's very easy to just let it go, but sometimes you need to rebuke someone. And we who are parents, we know all about that. Sometimes, you know, our kids make mistakes. It might be okay just to encourage them gently to do better next time. But sometimes our kids need a sharp rebuke, do they not? It's like, I told you one time, I told you another time, this time I'm going to rebuke you sharply. And sometimes that works. But we can also use our lips to flatter. And to flatter is that insincere, excessive way of praising someone or giving compliments. And it's usually in the context of you trying to gain favor from them, or you're trying to boost their ego for maybe your own agenda. You know, you tell your boss at work, oh, you know, you're just doing such a great job. Oh, yeah, boss, that was a great idea. You know, the words of flattery. But this proverb tells us that whoever rebukes a man will afterward find more favor than he who flatters with his tongue. Why is that? Because that person who gets rebuked, sometimes they end up saying, you know what, that's exactly what I needed. Everybody else is just telling me I was doing great. I thought I was just doing just dandy. And now you woke me up. Now I know what I need to do. Thank you very much. So we can rebuke or we can flatter. So now we've surveyed some of the uses of the lips. These are not all the Bible has to say about the lips, but Proverbs focuses on these. We're going to take a look at the fruit or the results that can come from the actions that we take with our tongues. And the first one I'd like to look at is others are built up or they are torn down. Our words do not just go into outer space when we say them. Our words have an effect on people. And our words can serve to build people up, to mature them in the faith, to nourish them in Christ, to help them grow, or they can do the opposite. Look at Proverbs 10:21. It says, "The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for a lack of sense." And you see this again in parents when they are instructing their children. If you are a school teacher, your lips can feed knowledge and wisdom into your students. We who teach the Word of God know this very well, that our words are very important for you. I do have to think very carefully about what words I say and do not say as I preach and teach the Word, because I want it to be for your upbuilding and edification in Christ. Even good friends and mentors, they take what they learn from the Lord and they give it to others. And the New Testament actually tells us in various places, and it speaks not just to parents, not just to teachers and preachers, and not even just to mentors, but to all of the body of Christ, that we are to build one another up in love. We are to use our words to help each other grow. But look at the opposite. Proverbs 11:9, it says, "With his mouth the godless man would destroy his neighbor, but by knowledge the righteous are delivered." So one of the fruits of our words, our bad words, are that they can destroy people. They could destroy people. How? We can destroy people emotionally. We could destroy people's careers very easily by spreading lies or uncovering things that we should not have uncovered. We can damage relationships with the bad use of words. We can tarnish people's ministries. But notice in these two proverbs whose lips would produce the feeding. It says the righteous. And whose lips are those that destroy? It is the godless. However, we must be warned by this proverb, because we are capable of falling into sin. And we could be acting like the godless at times with our words. So may we not be like the godless who use our words to destroy people, but may we use our words to feed. May we use our words to nourish. May we walk in step and talk in step with Christ and the calling that he has given to us as his righteous people. So we have upbuilding and destruction, but more fruit that we could see from the book of Proverbs is that people can be pacified or people can be angered. Proverbs 15:1, again, it says, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." A harsh word turns away wrath, a soft word turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So if you're ever having a heated argument, perhaps with a coworker or your spouse or even a friend of yours, a soft answer can really change the direction of that conversation. Someone could be really upset, but if you say the right thing in a gentle and soft way, that person's anger can go from here to here. And maybe they'll start listening to what you're saying. But that is your choice. It is the fruit of your mouth, oftentimes, that makes that happen. Or, on the other hand, we could reap the opposite. We can make a situation much worse with our words. We could make people much angrier if we choose to use unhelpful, harsh words. Again, it is the fruit of what we say. It is the result of the words that we choose to use. We reap what we sow into our conversations, into our disagreements, into our confrontations. Now, we can also bring healing to someone, or we could bring hurt to our listeners. Listen to Proverbs 12:25. It says, "Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad." Anxiety weighs down, a good word makes glad. We have the opportunity to help people with our words. We have an opportunity to heal people's minds and hearts with our words. We have an opportunity to bring them from a low point to a higher point. We can make people glad with the words that we use. People need to be reminded about the goodness of God. People need to be reminded about God's mercy and faithfulness. They need to be reminded that he's in control of everything, that he loves you. They need to be reminded that you love them. And our words can help people remember that. If you've ever been anxious, sometimes you get caught up in your own world and your own thoughts, and your first inclination is not always to go to the Bible or to pick it up and read it or to put on a sermon. You're too caught up in what you're thinking about. But a voice from the outside, from a friend, from a brother or sister in Christ, from a mom or a dad, even from a child, can bring the heart back up and bring a good word to them. It is the fruit of our lips. Proverbs 16:24 says again, "Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body." You can make somebody just feel in their bodies so much better with the words that you choose to use. But again, you have to care about the words. You have to care. You have to choose them judiciously. Proverbs 15:23, "To make an apt answer is a joy to a man, and a word in season, how good it is." You ever just been going through something and somebody says something, it's exactly what you needed to hear. How good it is to hear something like that. It can bring joy to people. Proverbs 15:4, "A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit." You have the power to just break somebody with the words that you choose to use. Will you choose to heal someone, or you choose to break someone? The fruit of our mouth, the tree of life, refreshing people in gentleness. So I want to ask you, what are we aiming to produce in people with our words? Are we aiming for brokenness? Are we aiming for healing? Are we aiming for joy and gladness? I want you to think about that. We can also persuade, like I meant before, the fruit of our lips could be persuasion, or it could be dissuasion. Proverbs 16:21, sweetness of speech increases persuasiveness. Have you ever, saints, heard perhaps a politician or even a preacher or anyone who is, maybe they're saying the right words, but they are excessively harsh with their hearers? Or, you know, some people, they have the words, their words can be likened to a surgeon with a scalpel, and others, they bring a machete to every situation. If we use sweetness, many times the fruit will be persuasion. Next, we see in our outline that we could avoid trouble if we use our words correctly. We can fall into it, or we could avoid it. Proverbs 12:13 says, "An evil man is ensnared by the transgression of his lips, but the righteous escapes from trouble." So why would an evil man be caught in a trap because of his lips? Well, he could get caught in lies and face the consequences for his lies. Maybe he doesn't think that God will do anything about it. He doesn't think that anyone will find out about it. But at the end of the day, he is slipping and falling into a hole that he has created because of his lies. Or he could experience backlash from unwise words or even an unwise tone of voice in using the words that he chose. He could also drive people away. With our words, when we're trying to persuade people, we're trying to draw them in. We're trying to bring them closer and align them with a direction that we want them to go. But an unwise person choosing unwise words drives people out. But the righteous escape these things because he is seeking to speak the truth in love. He speaks with integrity. He seeks to feed people with his words. And he's using the soft answer that turns away the wrath. Proverbs 13:3, whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. So this concept of guarding or keeping your mouth is important. We need to watch what we say and how we say it. Now, we've talked a lot about that, but I need you to just like lock in. We need to think before we speak. What does the Apostle James say? He says, or James, the brother of Jesus, let's just say, he says that we should be slow to speak. Why slow to speak? Because we should be thinking about what we say. How is this going to come across? I know that this person would receive it if I said it this way, but will this person receive it if I said it this way? Maybe for this person, I should be quiet, but for this person, I know them well enough, and I know that they will take these words. We need to guard our mouths, and we will preserve our life. We'll avoid a lot of trouble if we watch our mouths. It says, he who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. If you talk too much, if you say too much, you're eventually going to get into trouble. You will come to ruin. You don't want to talk too much because eventually what happens when you talk too much? You start saying secrets that you're not supposed to say. You start revealing too much about a situation or about people. It's even, you know, a Cuban proverb, which would throw in there for free, que la boca cerrada no entra mosca. And this is saying the same thing. The flies don't go into a closed mouth. So so you preserve your life when you guard your lips. But if you open them wide, ruin will come. Proverbs 14:3. By the mouth of a fool comes a rod for his back, but the lips of the wise will preserve them. So in the Proverbs, when we talk about a rod for the back, we are talking about discipline. Okay, if a child talks back to his parents, they should receive, in many cases, a rod for the back to teach them not to do that anymore. So if we speak foolishly, we could be disciplined. It could be in an earthly way by our employers or children with parents, or even by our government giving us a ticket, a violation, a fine of some kind. Or it could be the Lord himself that disciplines us for the poor way in which we choose to use our mouth. But the rod of the back comes to the mouth of the fool. But the lips of the wise will preserve them. The lips of the wise will preserve them. The wise man will be preserved by the way he uses his lips. Okay. So we've seen uses of our lips. We've seen the fruit of our lips. But now we'll see that while words can be very powerful and while they serve us in a variety of ways, there are times when words are simply not enough. And the Proverbs call these mere words, if you have an ESV translation. Proverbs, or mere talk, I should say, Proverbs 14:23 says, "In toil there is profit, but mere talk tends only to poverty." If you want to accomplish a goal, whether that's in the church or in your home or anywhere, you're going to need to do more than just talk about it. We cannot just endlessly talk about things and expect something to magically appear. You got to do something about the situation. If you want to be wealthy, according to the Proverbs, it says you need to do more than just talk about being wealthy. It says toil. In toil there is profit. You need to work. You need to do it. We can talk about something all we want, but it won't be until we put those words into action that we are going to reach our destination. Proverbs 29:19 gives us a similar exhortation. It says, "By mere words a servant is not disciplined, for though he understands, he will not respond." Sometimes it's going to take more than just words to discipline someone. Parents with kids, again, great example. We know this. Sometimes we need to do more than just tell our kids, don't do X, Y, Z. We need to do more than just tell our kids, get to work, do your homework. There are some times where you got to flip over the tables like Jesus in the temple, and you need to exercise the rod of discipline for the back to help them get where they need to go. By mere words, by just words, a servant is not disciplined. He will not respond. Finally, I'd like to end with a reflection on the most powerful words. The most powerful words that exist. And that is the message that the Bible calls the word of truth, or the word of life, or the word of Christ, the word of God, the word of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We know that in Genesis 3, the father of lies, Satan, his words had a huge effect on the world, did they not? Because he deceived. He spoke perverse words to Eve, and what happened? She was deceived, and she ate, and sin entered the world when Adam ate the fruit, and death through sin, the Bible says. And now we have corruption in the world. We have physical death. We have spiritual death. We have eternal death. However, we have, in opposition to the words of Satan, the lies of Satan that bring death, we have the word of truth, which is the word of Jesus Christ, the good news that the Lord God did not want to leave sinners in a state of sin and death and misery. He wanted to save some and give them eternal life. And the Apostle Paul tells us that this is the gospel, that he's not ashamed of the gospel of salvation, for it is the power of God to all who believe. The word of truth has power. Death and life, again, just like the proverb says, and the gospel leads to life, but it must be believed and it must be heeded. We must understand that the Lord wants to save us through Jesus Christ, that Christ came and lived a perfect life and died in the place of sinners and rose from the dead, and all who believe in him will have eternal life. Those are the most powerful words that lead to life. So I want to ask you something, believers, because I'm looking out and I see not a lot of visitors who don't believe the gospel. So how will we choose to use our words? If our words can build people up, if our words can heal, if our words can even lead someone to salvation in Jesus Christ, then that means we must preserve our lips. We must guard our lips, keep watch over our lips, and use our words judiciously to bring persuasion to Christ and the gospel. So, Florida Coast Church, I want to leave you with that word and encourage you to think about how you can do that. How can you use your words differently this week and moving forward? Let's go to the Lord one more time and ask from him his Spirit's help in this endeavor. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word of life. We thank you for bringing us from death to life through these words. Your word says that through the word of truth, you have caused us to be born again, that the seed of the word was implanted in us, and it is an imperishable seed. Father, we thank you for the gospel. Help us, Lord, to be those that Pastor Larry spoke of earlier who have beautiful feet, bringing good news to those who are in darkness. And help us, Lord, to keep our mouths, to watch our words, that they may lead to healing, that they may lead to life, that they may lead to edification. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.